I am broken on the battlefield, bloody and unconscious. When I wake, I hear the crows cawing, the wild dogs snarling. I hear the ripping of flesh, the snapping of bones. I hear the sky ship wreckage burning all around me as it becomes a buffet for scavengers. The rain is warm, boggy, and it traps the smell of blood and petrol. I would leave, but I've taken a pistol ball through the belly. So grievously, I can't raise my head. I look sidelong at the wild dogs that have come for the feast. Shaggy beasts padding among the blackened bodies and smoldering steel. One of them stands on my parachute and licks the hand I've pressed over my wound. I try to scream, but my voice is weak. The mongrel above me snarls and snaps, and it begins ripping into my dragoon uniform. I tug at my pistol, but it's trapped under me, on the back of my belt, and I lack the strength to draw it. So I shut my eyes and wait. Wait to feel teeth close around my throat. And that's when I hear you. When your people arrive, the dogs scatter and the crows take flight. Yapping and cawing, complaining at being driven from the feast. A dozen of your men wade through the wreckage, scavengers of a human variety. They're wearing nets and pouches and leather sacks, which they fill with valuables left by the fleet. And I briefly wonder why they're not here. Why the rescue ships haven't been sent for me. But I don't have long to consider. Your men are getting closer. One of your scavengers stops, smiles, and bends over a fallen woman in cannoneer's armor. She looks dead, pale and spattered crimson. Your man removes a flask from his belt, unstoppers the cork, and pours shimmering dust over her. To my eyes, it looks like opal dust. It glints in the air and clings to her wet skin. Then, miraculously, I see her take a breath. Your man is rough with his bounty. He cuts away the cannoneer's parachute and picks her up, still coughing to life, and throws her over his shoulder. Then he marches off, back to the pack horses picketed outside of the mire. You nod, approving, and you survey the field. And you see me. You move like a vulture bounding toward me. You see my wounds. You see the fear on my face. You grin, and I can't imagine what you find so amusing. I'm on the brink of death, covered in mud and powder burns, and you look like a child who's found a shiny penny. You unstopper your own flask and sprinkle it over me. I don't know why I expected it to feel soothing. Maybe it's your confidence, or the way the other woman stirred to life. But I'm surprised when the opal dust burns. It burns very badly. I flinch, and I clutch at my wounds as it hisses and bubbles. You're going to pass out, you tell me. By law, anything I take from this field belongs to me. I see you grin widen, and you repeat the word, anything. Like hell, I say. I ball my hands into fists, but the searing pain takes my breath away. You scoop me up, and I punch you, but I'm too weak to knock you off balance. Too weak to do anything more than amuse you. You chuckle, and I feel the deep rumble of your chest as you carry me off. I awaken, kneeling on a soft bed on a short dais. My bed has four oak posts, a hard oak canopy, and a soft mattress, big enough for a dog, or just wide enough for my knees. And when I spread my legs, I bump the corner posts. My neck is fit through a hole in the oak canopy. I shouldn't be able to see anything below my chin, except you've positioned a dressing mirror in front of me to put my nakedness, my vulnerability on display. I gasp when I see the wound under my rib, where the musket ball pierced my stomach. The flesh is healed. The scar is soft and smooth, with barely a pucker. By instinct, I reach for it, but my hands are bound behind my back with unyielding silk. This position, arms and shoulders back, puts me, my breasts, on full display. I don't bother crying for help. I know the reputation of scavengers. Begging would be useless, or worse, it might amuse you. And judging by your collection, you're not a casual scavenger. The hoard you've left me in is large and opulent. The master bedroom of some fortress. Antique, but cared for. There are gilt chests overflowing with silver marks. End tables stacked with bolts of cloth. Baskets of military rifles taken from various fleets. And uniforms hanging like trophies around the walls. My uniform, belt, and boots are beside the dressing mirror, a reminder of what I used to be, because what I am now, as your property, is whatever you make of me. I hear your boots outside the chamber door and the rattle of your scavenger armor. The lock clicks, the door swings open, and you enter the bedchamber without acknowledging me. Firstly, you brush and clean your boots before removing them by the door. Then you move to the armor stand, where you remove the leathers and nets of your trade. These are hung neatly, with the fastidiousness of a professional. Your clothes are similarly treated with care. I watch you strip naked and place your tunic and breeches on a hook, careful not to drag them on the floor. Next, you move to a small wash basin where you scrub yourself with a soft rag, and I'm captivated by the details of your body. I watch the movements of your muscles, the way the water glides over your skin, highlighted by the crackling fire. I watch the curve of your lower back, the breadth of your shoulders, the ponderous weight of your cock as you lean down to wash your legs. I'm too preoccupied by this show, in fact, to notice that my little bed is positioned just to the side of the wash basin. This position is significant. Your boot brush, Armor stand and coat rack are positioned in the order you will use them coming through the door. It's now, as I watch you wash, that I realize I, too, have been positioned for efficiency. My rack comes after the washing. Just another tool in your meticulous ritual. Once clean, you step onto my little dais, naked and erect. My square bed and the canopy that holds my head puts me at just the right height for you to make use of me. I seal my lips as you press your cock against my cheek and turn my head like a child refusing her vegetables. The warmth against my mouth and the musk of it are surprisingly enticing. But I don't want to give you the satisfaction, so I keep my lips locked and my head turned until you become frustrated, and you grab my ear between thumb and forefinger. I hadn't considered my little rebellion, really. At most, I imagined you would fight me for your gratification, make you take my head in your hands. But you don't. You're too efficient. Your solution is as simple as turning a key, or more accurately, twisting my ear to make me scream. And you're not gentle, and when I open my mouth to shriek, you fill it. Efficiency in all things. You use my face and my throat like a utility for your cock. You press your thighs against the narrow wooden canopy, filling my esophagus, expanding it as I sputter and gag. But one can only choke with air in their lungs, and as you plunge yourself deep into me, over and over, I soon run out. You do not concern yourself with my well-being. I am a tool, a device, a useful thing in a line of useful things. And when my face turns red and my lungs burn and I begin to desperately suck air around your cock, you pay me no mind. The bedposts rattle and I tug furiously at my bonds. The back of my neck burns where it bumps again and again against the hole in the oak canopy. Tears flow freely down my face, and my coughing becomes a gurgle. I see your buttocks clenching in the mirror, thrusting into my face, mashing your pelvis against my lips. And as I feel you throbbing in my mouth, and I see your ass bouncing, and my need for air makes me dizzy, I suddenly feel something hot and wet and electric between my legs. For a moment, I wish you would touch me. When I'm not reeling, on the verge of blacking out or coughing around your cock, I fantasize that you reach down and put your fingers in me. But this fantasy is fleeting, because tonight is all about your pleasure, your gratification. I feel you thrusting faster, mechanically, and I choke. You bury yourself in my throat, and you're so deep when you come that I can't taste it. I feel you filling my stomach with your hot, sticky seed, and it's both disgusting and disappointing. You hold yourself there in my mouth until you're sure every drop has made its way inside me. Then you release my ear. You remove your slick, hot cock, leaving a wet trail down my chin and across the canopy. You step off the dais. You crawl onto the master bed and roll over, facing away from me. I'm still dazed, breathless, and unsatisfied when I hear you begin to snore. During the day, while you're out scavenging, your servants clean me, tend to my needs. They're careful never to untie me, which lets me know I'm not your first dedicated mouth. When you arrive in the evening, the ritual is the same. You take off your boots, you undress, you wash, and you approach my tiny bed. However, when you reach for my ear, you are shocked to see my mouth hanging open, and my tongue sticking out, eager for you. You slide your cock into my mouth, and you roughly fuck the back of my throat. As you take your pleasure from me, you begin to moan, and you notice I'm no longer fighting you. Far from it. I'm bobbing my head in counterpoint to your thrusts, enthusiastically taking your cock as far into my esophagus as I can manage. I still choke, and my eyes still water, but you don't have to twist my ear. You don't last long. The look of astonishment and pleasure as you stumble away from the dais excites me more than you know. And when you crawl into bed and glance back, I gyrate my hips in front of the mirror. On the third day, you awaken with a fierce erection. Dreaming of me, I assume. You've barely touched your cock to my lips before I suck you into my mouth and down my throat. I bob, greedily sputtering. Your legs go weak, and you have to hold on to the oak canopy on either side of my head. And then you stagger away, pulling your scavenger gear on as you go, bemused and dull with pleasure. You catch me smiling with tear-stained cheeks, and I wink before the door closes behind you. In the evening, you return and again fuck my mouth. Again, I show you how eager I am, how hungry I am for you, how I long to taste you, to have your hot seed in my stomach. When you try to pull away, I suck harder, and you have to separate your cock from my mouth with an obscene, wet pop. I gyrate my hips again as you stagger back, and I can see your curiosity overflowing. This time, you don't look away from me. You don't show me your backside and crawl into bed. This time, you retrieve a tiny gold key from under your pillow, and you use it to unlock the canopy that holds my neck. You stand back. You cross your arms. Your cock is hard, and your eyes are dark, dangerous with interest. You watch as I rise, serpentine, like a dancer. I dance, but not with the grace of a professional, but with the honesty of a body badly in need of a fuck. My hips make lewd promises. My arms and legs sway. I move in front of the mirror, running my hands over my body. I bend over for you, cupping my breasts, stroking my thighs, touching myself for you, and you are transfixed. I have no doubt you have seen many women, taken many women, but nothing is as erotic as pure, unrestrained need. I place my hands on either side of the mirror and I thrust my ass out, showing you my smooth cheeks, my eager, wet cunt. Finally, you've had enough. You come towards me, mesmerized. And that's when I reach for my uniform, hanging beside of the mirror. I reach behind my belt to the pistol holster on the back. I draw the little black powder pistol, and there's a loud pop, a flash, and a cloud of smoke. You stand naked, bleeding, clutching your guts before you collapse to the floor. I stand over you while you bleed to death. But before you fade away, you see that I'm holding something. Something I retrieved from your scavenger armor. Something I saw you use when you plucked me from the battlefield. I am holding a little vial of opal dust, which I sprinkle over your wound. Your eyes widen as the dust begins to burn and bubble through your ruined flesh. I sit on your thighs as I watch you twitch and wheeze. You're going to pass out now, I tell you. Anything I choose to take from this room belongs to me. Anything. You chuckle painfully and you close your eyes. When you awaken, you are kneeling on a very small bed with your neck locked in a hard oak canopy. I've positioned a dressing mirror in front of you to put your nakedness on display. Then you see me in front of you, wearing only my uniform jacket, unbuttoned. And I'm grinning like a child who's found a shiny penny. I step onto the dais with my pussy in front of you. Then I take your ear between my thumb and forefinger. And I twist.